Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Margaritas, Marzipan, and Murder, a Cape Bay Cafe Mystery by Harper Lynn, narrated by Marguerite Gavin. Chapter 1. To Sammy, Dawn said, lifting her margarita glass in the air for a toast. To Sammy, I echoed, clinking my glass against Dawn and Sammy's. To her freedom. Hear, hear, Dawn cheered as Sammy blushed. The three of us, me, Sammy, and Dawn, Sammy's best friend since preschool, were gathered on the oceanfront deck of Fiesta Mexicana, Cape Bay's best and only Mexican restaurant, to celebrate Sammy's breakup with her longtime loser boyfriend, Jared. They'd been together for 10 years, since their senior year in high school, and Jared had been refusing to move their relationship beyond boyfriend-girlfriend status for almost as long, always claiming that it would break his mother's heart if he left her to get married. Even so, Sammy had held out hope for a ring for their 1-year anniversary, then their 5-year, then their 10-year anniversary a few weeks ago. In the last case, the big surprise he'd promised her turned out to be an evening of go-karting. When that happened, even I, who hadn't known her well for all that long, asked her what she was still doing with him. She said it was because she loved him. I let it go, but Dawn didn't. God, I'm glad I finally convinced you to break up with him, Dawn said, coming up from a long drink from her glass. We'd been at the bar less than a half an hour, but she had ordered a second round, despite Sammy and me having made nowhere near the impact on our drinks that she had. I'd never gone out with Dawn before, but I could already tell she was either going to be a lot of fun or no fun at all. She was that kind of girl. Fran did some convincing, too, Sammy said, nodding in my direction. I looked at her with my eyebrows raised as I swallowed the sip I'd just taken. The margarita was made just the way I liked it. A little tart, a little sweet, a little salty, and exactly the right amount of burn from the tequila. I did, I said after the liquid had made its way down my throat.
You did.
What did I say? I asked. It wasn't so much what you said as the fact that you said it. It was one thing when Dawn told me I needed to break up with him. I mean, she's been saying that for years.
9 1/2 years, to be exact, Dawn interjected. Maybe 9 3/4.
Sammy rolled her eyes with a smile and a shake of her head at her best friend. Clearly, they'd had the same conversation more than once. Anyway, I've been hearing about it from Dawn for years, but when you said something after we've only really known each other for a few months, I looked down at my glass, embarrassed that I'd been so blunt. It was very un-New England-y of me. Well, being blunt was very New England, but sticking my nose in someone else's business wasn't. Who someone else chose to spend their time with was none of my concern, even if I did think they were making a huge mistake. I'm sorry, I said. I shouldn't have pried into your personal life.
Don't be sorry, Sammy exclaimed. Please, Dawn chimed in. If that's what it took to get the girl to see reason, I'm glad you said something.
She tipped her glass up and emptied it. Still, I started.
Still nothing, Sammy said, looking me dead in the eye. I'd been with him for 10 years, Fran. Always telling myself it didn't matter that he didn't want to get married, that it was fine if he never wanted to go away for a weekend because his mom would be all alone, that birthdays and anniversaries weren't really that big of a deal, so it was okay if he never wanted to do anything special to celebrate. 10 years. Do you know how many of my friends I've watched get married and have kids in that time?
Sammy's face was getting flushed as she ranted.
Do you know how many times I've been asked when we were getting engaged? She went on. And I couldn't even be one of those people who just says they're not the marrying kind or something, because I am the marrying kind. It's all I've wanted for 10 years. Jared just kept saying he wasn't ready.
She waved her margarita glass in the air. She was so worked up that she didn't even notice that some of it sloshed over the side and fell onto the deck floor. I reached out, took it from her hand, and placed it on the table. She kept going without missing a beat.
I had to keep telling people we were waiting until we were a little older, a little more established, had a little more money. It was so embarrassing. And then, when I had to tell you that my big anniversary date was go-karts, oh, I wanted to sink into the floor and disappear. And what was my excuse? That I loved him when that's how he treated me? She stopped and shook her head. I'm just glad I finally realized it before I wasted any more time with him. I was surprised and impressed by Sammy's outburst. It was so far out of character for her. Sammy's usual disposition was as sunny as her blonde hair. She smiled a lot, laughed a lot, got along with everybody, and made customers at the cafe smile. She rarely got worked up about anything, and on the incredibly rare occasion that she did, she never had that much to say about it. I liked seeing that kind of spunk and passion from her. Not knowing what else to say, I raised my glass toward Sammy. To getting out and not wasting time on losers.
I'll drink to that,
Dawn said, clinking her glass against mine and Sammy's. The waiter had brought the second round while Sammy was venting about Jared. Dawn tipped it back and drank so much I felt reasonably confident we'd be on to the third round soon. Of course, if we kept going at our current pace, she could just drink Sammy's or mine. She'd be ready for her next one long before we were.
You know, I gotta say, Sam, I'm glad you're finally done feeling sorry for yourself about the breakup. Jared was a loser and not worth all the crying you were doing over him, was he, Fran?
Dawn said. The native New Englander in me wanted to make a non-committal grunt, but apparently my opinion had meant something to Sammy before. I can't fault you for crying. I know I cried my share of tears when I found out my fiancé was cheating on me. But it's definitely good to see you getting past the really depressed phase. He didn't deserve you, and you deserve to be happy. Sammy gave me a small, grateful smile. I knew from my own recent experience that Dawn's tough love attitude was sometimes exactly what the doctor ordered. But other times, you needed someone to tell you that whatever you were feeling was fine, and that they were there for you no matter how long it took you to get back to normal. Between the two of us, we had Sammy's emotional needs covered. But that, I suspected, was why I'd been invited along. The night out on the town had been Dawn's idea. She'd come into the cafe the evening before, after Sammy had gone home but before I closed up shop. I didn't know Dawn personally, but she came into the cafe sometimes after Sammy's shifts to hang out with her. She burst through the door unceremoniously, calling out before she even had the chance to see that I was standing right at the counter.
"Fran," she bellowed, "we have to do something about Sammy."
"We do?" I asked.
"For God's sake, yes,"
she said, slamming her hands down on the counter.
"She's been moping around, crying her eyes out for a week now. I can't take it anymore."
"You can't take it anymore. Sammy's the one with the broken heart." But at the same time, I understood where she was coming from. Sammy had been doing okay at work, not breaking down in tears or anything like that, at least not after the first day or two. But she definitely wasn't her normal, cheery, ebullient self. "What do you want me to do?" I asked Dawn. While I considered Sammy a friend, she was also my employee. I'd known her for a long time, but had only really gotten to know her personally over the past couple of months since I'd returned to Cape Bay from New York City. I really wasn't sure I was the right person to help break her out of her funk. Dawn looked at me as if I was stupid.
"We need to take her out, like to party, girls' night out. I know that's not just a Massachusetts thing. I watch TV. They have girls' night out in New York."
"Even if they didn't, I'm from Massachusetts." She didn't look at me as though she believed me.
"Really?"
She knew that, didn't she? That I'd moved back to Cape Bay to take over the cafe after my mother died? That I grew up here?
"I know," she replied coolly. "You were just away so long, I thought maybe you forgot."
"Forgot the girls' night out that we also have in New York?" She gave me that are-you-stupid look again, then shook her head as if she couldn't be bothered.
"We need to take Sammy out," she said,
giving up on explaining the concept of girls' night out to me. "Do you really think Sammy would want me there? I mean, I'm her boss."
"And her friend. Of course she would want you there. Are you free tomorrow night?"
Even though I knew it would take Sammy some time to get over the breakup, since she'd been with Jared for so long, I couldn't help but think that it would do her some good to get out, have a little fun, and remember that there was a big world out there as soon as she was ready to rejoin it. So I agreed to Dawn's plan for a girls' night out. And that was how we'd ended up on the deck of Fiesta Mexicana, tipping back margaritas and breathing in the salty sea air. It was the last week of the summer tourist season, and you could already feel the chill creeping into the air. Labor Day was coming up on Monday. The kids would go back to school on Tuesday, and Cape Bay's tourist traffic would be confined to the weekends for the next 6 weeks until Columbus Day, when it essentially ground to a halt. There would be a few tourists over the holidays and Valentine's Day, but it wouldn't be anything noteworthy until the spring breakers invaded in March, after which it would stop again until the season started on Memorial Day weekend. After the emotionally and physically exhausting summer, my mother's sudden death, and the long hours I'd been working at the cafe, I was more than ready for the slower pace of winter. Dawn downed the last of her drink and stood up. "I'll be back. Gotta hit the little girl's room." I watched her walk away, then looked over at Sammy, who was staring out at the ocean. The sun had long since set, but the full moon lit the water up brightly enough that the people walking along the beach didn't bother turning their flashlights on to light their way. It was a perfect late summer night, but I could tell from Sammy's face that she wasn't really enjoying it. "You okay?" I asked her quietly. She nodded without taking her eyes off the water. The light from the neon beer sign behind her shone down on her hair, creating a halo effect. It wasn't the first time the word cherubic had come to my mind in relation to Sammy, although it was usually the smiling cherubs I thought she looked like, not the tearful ones. "It'll get better," I said. I knew from experience. It had only been a few months since my then-fiancé had broken the news that he was leaving me for the girl in his office he'd been cheating on me with. The first couple of weeks had been agonizing, and then when I wasn't looking, the cloud began to lift. She turned away from the water and looked at me, the corner of her mouth twitching up while her eyes stayed sad. "Promise, promise," I replied. "It might seem like forever, but things will be looking up before you know it." The door from the deck to the patio opened, and Dawn walked through. She moved slowly, and I thought I detected a wobble in her step as she passed the table next to ours. I nudged Sammy and nodded in Dawn's direction. Sammy's eyes got big and she started to stand, but before she could get up, Dawn lunged into the chair closest to her. Dawn's head tipped back, coming so close to the woman sitting at the table next to us that it nearly rested on her shoulder. Sammy and I looked at each other again. I wasn't sure what was wrong with Dawn, and from Sammy's expression, I guessed that she didn't either.
"Dawn, are you?"
I started, leaning across the table toward her. Her head snapped forward, and one finger flew to her lips. "Shh!" Her eyes were round and intense as she looked at me, then Sammy. After a few seconds, she leaned back again and turned her face upward. I leaned over to Sammy and whispered, "Is she okay?" Sammy shook her head and shrugged, no surer of Dawn's condition than I was. I looked back at Dawn, who was still inexplicably staring at the ceiling, her shoulder-length, rust-colored hair actually falling over the back of the other woman's chair. The people at that table had just been seated, and they were chatting as they looked over their menus, too absorbed in what they were doing to notice that Dawn had practically joined their party. I had no idea what was going on with her. She had seemed fine before she left the table, and she'd seemed okay, strange but fine, when she'd sat up and shushed us. She'd only had two drinks, and she'd been right there with us until she'd gone to the bathroom. No one except the waiter had come near us. I didn't think she'd had enough alcohol to be drunk, and unless someone had intercepted her on the way to the bathroom, I couldn't imagine that she'd been drugged. That wasn't even something I would have worried about going out with girlfriends in New York, let alone sleepy little Cape Bay. Something was very wrong. I just didn't know what. Chapter 2. I watched Dawn for what seemed like an eternity, but was probably only a few seconds. Sammy was still watching Dawn and looking as confused as I was. I tucked my long brown hair behind my ears to try to hear better what Dawn was listening to, but with the chatters of the restaurant patrons around me, I still couldn't make out the words. Finally, I decided I couldn't just let her sit there all limp and not do anything. I reached out toward Dawn to see if I could get her attention by tapping on the table. Before I could even tap once, she popped up and leaned her elbows on the table. She stared at me as if I was crazy for having my arms stretched across the table. I pulled it back, knowing it wasn't worth trying to explain that we thought she had passed out.
"Did you hear what they're talking about?"
she whispered. So that's what she had been doing, eavesdropping on the neighboring table. It almost made sense, though it would have been less weird for her to have told Sammy and me what she was doing. From what I knew of Dawn, eavesdropping was something she would do. She seemed to have a constant expectation that everyone around her should understand what was going on in her head. I certainly didn't. Maybe Sammy did, based on how unfazed she seemed by Dawn's return to the land of the living. But then again, maybe Sammy was just used to Dawn's quirks. When neither of us admitted to eavesdropping on the conversation next to us, perhaps because we were distracted by Dawn's strange behavior, she filled us in.
"They found a body."
"They did?" I asked, gesturing toward the other table.
"No, not them,"
Dawn said, looking disgusted.
"They,"
she repeated, making air quotes.
"Like people in general, a body was found."
"Where?" I asked. "Here in Cape Bay?" She rolled her eyes. I was convinced she thought I was too dense to tie my own shoes.
"Yes, here in Cape Bay. Where else?"
"I would prefer anywhere else," Sammy said.
I lifted my margarita glass and tapped it against hers. I could drink to not finding a body in Cape Bay. We'd had enough of those lately. First my boyfriend Matt's father, and then a local kickboxing student. It would be fine by me if no one found another dead body in town ever again.
"Where?"
I asked. "Where in Cape Bay, I mean?" I clarified before Dawn could lose her eyeballs in the back of her head. "Right next to Mary Ellen's," Dawn said. Mary Ellen's Souvenirs and Gifts was located on Main Street, just a couple of blocks from my cafe. They said the cops are still there. You want to go check it out?"
"The body?"
I asked. "Yeah, why not? Have you ever seen a real crime scene before? Not like on a cop show?"
"Yes,"
I replied. I had the unfortunate distinction of being the one to find my neighbor's body, my now boyfriend Matt's dad, when he was murdered, and I had been there when they processed the scene. Of course, they hadn't known he had been murdered at first, so it hadn't been like on TV at all. But I still wasn't too keen on seeing another corpse.
"Oh, yeah," Dawn said.
I could see the wheels turning in her head as she tried to think of another reason for us to visit the crime scene. I finished my drink as I waited for her to land on another idea.
"Do you think Mary Ellen needs us?"
Sammy asked. I immediately realized I wasn't going to win. If Sammy was on Dawn's side, there was no getting out of it, especially since I thought Sammy had a good point. If somebody had been found dead next to Mary Ellen's shop, she'd probably be pretty freaked out. In a small town like Cape Bay, we all supported each other, especially the shopkeepers. If I knew a body was found next to my cafe, Mary Ellen would be right there to help me in any way she could. Still, I couldn't concede my point that easily. "Sammy and I haven't even started our second drinks, and you already ordered the third round," I pointed out. "We can't let all that money and perfectly good alcohol go to waste." Dawn didn't miss a beat. She stood and picked up the two untouched glasses from the table. She turned around and placed them on the table she'd been eavesdropping on. "Here you go, ladies. We've been unexpectedly called away and won't be able to finish our drinking. Here are two delicious untouched margaritas for you to enjoy. This one is your classic margarita on the rocks, and this pretty pink frozen one here is strawberry." One of the women looked as if she wanted to speak. Before she could, Dawn spotted the waiter coming with our third round perched on his tray and bellowed, "And just in time, here's the rest of them. Put 'em right there, Alberto." She gestured for him to place them on the stranger's table. "We have another classic on the rocks, another frozen strawberry, and this one here." She picked up the drink she'd ordered for herself. "Is top shelf and mango. Who wants it?" She glanced around the table, her gaze landing on the woman closest to the window. You look like a girl who appreciates fine liquor." She set the drink down in front of the woman and immediately reached in her own jeans pocket, pulling out a few bills. She handed them to Alberto. "Keep the change, my friend." She turned back to us. "You ready to go?"
"Guess so,"
I said, standing up. Dawn had made my one solid objection disappear in the blink of an eye, and had managed to convince a group of women that drinks from a stranger's table were suitable for consumption. It was kind of impressive, and, I suspected, evidence of how good Dawn was at her bartending job. Sammy swallowed the last of her drink, grabbed her purse, and stood up.
All right, let's go.
Even though it was Sammy's comment about Mary Ellen that convinced us to head to the crime scene, I couldn't tell whether she was actually happy about going or not. I had a feeling she wasn't exactly enjoying herself and was just ready to leave. We headed out of the restaurant and made our way into the heart of town. Fiesta Mexicana was situated at the end of the mile-long boardwalk that ran the length of Cape Bay's beachfront. Main Street ran perpendicular to the beach at the middle of the boardwalk. Mary Ellen's shop was a couple of blocks up from the beach, and my cafe was a little beyond that. It wasn't a long walk, especially on such a nice night. If I'd had my way, I would have gone down and sat on the beach to watch the waves crash under the moon. But between Sammy and Mary Ellen, I knew I was needed elsewhere. Soon, we could see the flashing red and blue lights of the police cars and an ambulance parked outside Mary Ellen's shop. It looked like the entirety of Cape Bay's police force, all nine of them, was out to aid in the investigation. To be fair, it was still tourist season, so the police department had an extra handful of officers on staff as seasonal help, but the group was still only a fraction of the size of what would have been assembled in New York City for the discovery of a body. The ambulance wasn't even ours. It was from the county EMS station in the next town over. From what I could see, the police also had a spotlight shining into the alley next to Mary Ellen's store. The light actually belonged to the town. I remembered seeing it set up during Cape Bay's annual Founders Day celebration. A big crowd of people was gathered around the group of police cars blocking the road. Dawn was shameless and walked right past the police cars up to the crime scene tape, which was strung from the corners of the buildings on either side of the alley and around parking meters at the road. A swarm of blue uniforms blocked our view, but Dawn angled and craned her neck to see between them. "I can see him," she hissed back at us. "And?" I asked, not sure I wanted to know. "Pretty sure he's dead." It was my turn to roll my eyes. The phrase, a body, didn't typically refer to a living body.
"Would you idiots stop standing there and try doing some police work?"
Someone shouted from behind the police tape. The voice was familiar, but between my years in Cape Bay and my work at the cafe, I knew just about everyone on the police force.
"What do you want us to do, detective?"
one of the officers asked. The detective sighed heavily.
"Oh, for the love of..."
Heavy footsteps moved toward us.
"You," the detective said, "get a camera. Take pictures. Get everything from every angle. Use a ruler so we know how big things are. You, go with him. You, call the medical examiner's office and find out when somebody's going to be here. I want this body off my street."
The officers gradually dispersed to their different tasks, revealing the scene in the alley. Just as Dawn had said, there was a body, presumably dead, as evidenced by both the fact that the paramedics weren't attending to it and that it was covered by a sheet. I was grateful for that. There were little yellow tents scattered around, marking bits of evidence that mostly seemed to be rocks and bits of trash you'd expect to find in an alley. I remembered seeing on one of those police procedurals with the hot older man lead detective that the police had to consider all trash important until they could be sure it didn't have any blood or footprints on it. I was glad I didn't have that job. On one side of the sheet-draped body, a man's body, I guessed from the size and shape of it, was a plastic bag full of something I couldn't identify. A chill went up my spine when I saw what was on the other side of the body, a gun. Sammy must have spotted it at the same time. "Was he shot?" she whispered. I instinctively reached one hand back toward her. Judging by how tight she gripped it, I knew the sight bothered her as much as it did me. Dawn, however, seemed mostly unaffected.
"Yeah, I think so."
She got up on her tiptoes and leaned to her right. "I think that's blood over there." She pointed toward the body.
"Okay, that's it. Let's go," I said.
Still holding Sammy's hand, I turned and pulled her along with me back through the police cars and over to the grassy median a block away, near where the ambulance was parked. Sammy's face looked pale in the yellow-orange streetlight. "Are you okay?" I asked. "Yeah, just..." She stopped and shuddered. "Another murder."
"Actually, it looks like a suicide,"
a man's voice said. The dark-haired police officer had been standing just around the corner of the ambulance out of our view, but apparently well within earshot. He stepped toward us.
"So, nothing for you to worry about,"
he said with a smile at Sammy and me. As he looked at each of us, his eyes lingered for just a second longer on Sammy.
"You all right, miss?"
Yes, I'm fine."
"Are you sure?"
His brow furrowed.
"You need to sit down? Here, let me help."
He popped open the handle on the back of the ambulance door.
"Sit down here."
"I'm fine. Really, I..."
"Sit down," he repeated firmly. "Don't want to have another body on the ground."
Sammy and I both looked at him, startled by his comment.
"No, I mean... Sorry. Cop humor. I just meant that you looked like you might pass out, and then you'd be..."
He gestured toward the ground, then shook his head.
"Sorry. Bad joke."
Sammy sat down on the back of the ambulance. "It's okay. I make coffee jokes sometimes when I'm stressed at work." The cop chuckled and ran his fingers across his close-cropped hair.
"Yeah? You work at a coffee shop?"
"Just up the street," she said, pointing in the direction of the cafe. "Antonia's Italian Cafe. I work with Fran here. She owns the place." She motioned to me.
"Yeah?"
he replied with a smile.
"I haven't been there yet. I'll have to come by sometime and see you."
Sammy looked at him curiously. I knew she was wondering the same thing I was. How had a Cape Bay police officer not been into Antonia's? The officer must have read her expression, too. A handy skill for someone who had to suss out criminals for a living.
I'm new, he said. Just moved here from Buffalo.
What brings you to town? I asked.
Family. I grew up in Plymouth. I've been out in New York for a while and just wanted to get back home.
Well, welcome to Cape Bay. Come into the cafe any time. Between me and Sammy, one of us is almost always there. We'll get you a cup of coffee on the house.
Don't let her fool you, Sammy said before he could reply. Police and firefighters always get free coffee.
I gave her a dirty look for blowing my secret. The cop laughed.
Well, thank you. Fran, was it?
Francesca Amaro, I said, extending my hand, and we're happy to do it. It's a long-standing family tradition. Back when my grandparents started the cafe nearly 70 years ago, they gave free food and coffee to the police and firefighters who protected the town as a way of not just thanking them for what they did, but also to establish Antonia's as part of the community.
I'm Ryan Leary,
he said, shaking my hand. His hand was huge and strong, and his handshake was just on this side of uncomfortable. I suspected it was a carefully practiced technique. He gave Sammy a questioning look.
Samantha Erickson, she said, reaching her hand up to him from where she was still sitting on the back of the ambulance.
Sammy.
Sammy,
he repeated with a smile.
You look like your color's coming back a little.
I wasn't sure whether it was that or if she was blushing, but she did seem to be getting some pink back in her skin.
Leary!
Someone bellowed.
Right here, detective.
Ryan called, turning and raising one hand in the air. Detective Mike Stanton stalked into view, and the second he saw me, I knew I was in trouble. Chapter 3 Mike's stare probably only lasted a few seconds, but it seemed like almost an eternity before his eyes shifted to Sammy. Ryan stood by uneasily, obviously confused about why his boss had gone from urgently demanding his presence to silently staring at Sammy and me.
You okay, Sam?
Mike finally asked.
Yeah,
she said, standing up quickly from her seat on the ambulance. She dusted her hands off on her jeans.
Just needed to sit down for a minute.
She managed to flash him a weak smile. Mike studied her for another few seconds and then turned to me.
So you two were just walking by when Sammy, what, started to feel lightheaded and needed to sit down?
Sort of. We're actually here with Dawn.
We were having a girls' night out, I started to explain.
Dawn,
Mike interrupted. Based on his tone, I was almost surprised he'd...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?